This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Anthony, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right. This, I'm disappointed that this book isn't longer. Mm-hmm. It's only four chapters. Mm-hmm. More material would be nice.
It's very concise, though, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness,
point,
yes.
Right to the point.
Every word counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, knowing that his head's going to be chopped off within a very short time.
Yeah, yeah.
Extremely positive.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. And here he is worried about everybody else.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So he continues and says to Timothy, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Wow. Treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Verse 6, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Well, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, else was that of those two men.
Mm-hmm.
Jannes and Jambres. Mm. Wow.
Mentioned twice.
This is, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this he's really, look at all of this. Paul is looking ahead and seeing some very difficult times.
Absolutely.
And
a pile up of adjectives there.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Each one well chosen and to the point.
Mm.
I like particularly he's got the truth and the faith.
You know,
there is a body of truth once and for all delivered to the saints. Truth, otherwise known as the faith, is a code word and it's the gospel of the kingdom in the name of Jesus, Acts 8:12.
Mm.
I'm afraid we've lost that clarity of the heart and the core of the faith and the truth. That's why we're at sea denominationally.
Mm.
We've gotten a great model because we've not cottoned on to these core key words,
wow.
I think, that are so clear.
My goodness, he just lays out. But you know, it occurs to me here that God cannot work with people who are thus minded, people who are like this.
Yeah.
We deceive ourselves. I think we have that phrase, deceiving their own selves.
Mm-hmm.
But we deceive ourselves. Oh, God doesn't care if I am a lover of self and a lover of money or proud or arrogant or abusive or disobedient to my parents.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
If I'm ungrateful, if I'm unholy, heartless, unappeasable, God doesn't care. I think we're speaking too quickly for God. God apparently does care.
Oh, yes.
And Paul does as well.
We're shaking the universe, I think, if we do these things. The universe was designed to be at harmony with itself, was it not? These qualities, if practiced, will create peace across the world. They eventually will when the devil is bound. But for the moment, I'm afraid, these things are all too true.
Yeah.
We watch our news day by day.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I like this,
Yes.
It's awesome in verse 9 when he says, having the appearance of godliness.
Yes.
So we want to put on a shroud, if we will. We want to put on an external appearance of godliness when in reality we love all these things that are not of God, you know.
Absolutely.
It doesn't work.
And you read the verse about deceiving and being deceived? Is that in that section there? That's
I don't think we've gotten
we haven't
got
to that.
He's still holding that one
right.
to bring to us here in a minute.
Absolutely.
But then he brings up these fellows, Jannes and Jambres, who are actually Old Testament characters,
yes.
I think.
Yes, they're mentioned in Jewish literature as having opposed Moses.
Yeah. I'm not sure they're mentioned in the Old Testament. Is
that I don't recall that. I don't think they are, actually.
But in Jewish literature.
In Jewish literature. So the point would be that if you oppose Moses, you're doing as badly as opposing Paul, by the way.
Yes.
See, Paul is the Moses of the day.
The representative of Christ himself.
Yeah. His authority is parallel to Moses.
Yeah.
You don't want to oppose Paul.
Yes.
Apostolic authority is something we don't reckon with. We don't have apostles at the level of the 12.
We're
supposed to have seen Jesus and have the accrediting sign. But Paul is exceedingly important because he's speaking for Jesus,
absolutely.
For God, just
absolutely.
As Moses spoke in Old Covenant times.
Absolutely. And Paul is a no-nonsense guy. You know, you look at all of this.
Oh, yes.
You can't come to Paul and say, oh, Paul, God doesn't care if people do this and that, and the, you know, things that are obviously contrary to the will of God.
That's right.
Paul is just laying it out here. It's like he doesn't want to leave any stone unturned in bringing up these things that are inappropriate, unacceptable.
It's amazing to me today that people are talking about illicit sexual relationships, for example. They argue with each other as though some ordinary person created these rules. We didn't. What about, have you read Paul in Romans 1?
Yes.
Have you read Paul?
Yes, yes.
Do you not understand that if you take the Bible as your standard, you're going to have to defend that or give up your faith?
Mm-hmm.
So understand at least that we're talking biblical authority here, which for us is life and death stuff, isn't it?
Well, in taking the words of Paul, the words of Scripture, wouldn't that be a good idea compared to taking the swapped opinions of people?
Yes.
You know.
It would be, but we've lost that sense
right.
of authority. The Bible has been so undermined and so wrecked by false criticism.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think we have done correctly by setting our efforts in these sessions and these materials to address the Scripture,
absolutely.
Not our own opinions. I mean, frankly, who cares what I may think or you may think about a matter?
Exactly.
Not that we may have some
word
of wisdom in something that's good, but isn't it far better, much more reliable, and brings us to a better end to rely on the words of Paul, who is representing Jesus directly?
Exactly. If you haven't got Scripture, you've got nothing. If you're trying to play chess with no borders on the board, right, no edges, it's a fruitless exercise.
Yeah.
And Jesus was a Bible person, right?
Oh,
it
he
is
was.
Written,
yes.
You err not knowing the Scriptures.
Ah, yes,
if
yes.
Jesus was a Bible person, we want to be like that.
Yes.
There's no faith if you cannot define it. It's like saying, I'm trying to find a train to go somewhere. I'm looking in the timetable, and we know all the facts are wrong.
Yes,
it's a fruitless exercise.
Yeah.
If we haven't got Scripture, we've got nothing. We might as well do something more intelligent. But this is God speaking to us,
indeed.
I think, through Paul.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's not, the whole exercise is fruitless.
Right. And then when we do that, then we are all under the umbrella, the protection and responsibilities of the Word of God, the Scriptures,
the
Bible, the message,
absolutely.
Rather than pontificating, if we would, if you might use that term, and saying what I think and what you think, and then as though we were something, and we're not really anything to be compared to
nothing.
The Apostle Paul
dangerous.
Who wrote these things.
Tradition, then, is a fearful danger. So that's what got to Jesus. You see him using these arguments against the establishment.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
In vain they worship. Your church going is a waste of time because you've got all these traditions in there. And
oh,
God's not impressed with that.
Oh, yes.
This is serious stuff.
Wow. Verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Verse 11.
Yes.
My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me.
Yes.
Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, my goodness.
Powerful.
Oh, land.
Mm-hmm.
This is just tremendous. You know,
yeah.
There's a beautiful contrast here between the things that he just said in the beginning of the third chapter. People will be lovers of self, lovers
yes.
of money, proud, arrogant,
yes.
beauty. And he makes this tremendous list.
Catalog of stuff.
Yeah, and then here yes. he's setting in opposition to
that.
All these wonderful, beautiful
yes.
things. And yes. and he attributes them to his own life. He's
yes.
able to do that.
Oh, yes.
Rightly so.
That is, I noticed yeah. that too as you were reading. Isn't it amazing, the parallel between this list, this
yes,
awful
yes.
litany of
yeah, yeah.
dreadful things, and
yeah.
then it's balanced nicely
yeah.
by a litany of
yeah.
good qualities.
It reminds you of some of his
yes.
work in other areas, like in Galatians 5,
yes.
he has the works of the flesh,
yes.
and then counterbalances
yes.
that with the
exactly
fruits
right.
of the Spirit.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful. This is kind of a little like that.
It
in
is.
A way. Yeah,
it's as literature, it's very artistic. It's
yeah.
very well constructed.
Yeah. Oh, my, yes.
I am very impressed with the fact that he says it's an evil thing to be deceived.
Mm.
Not only very evil to deceive others,
yes.
but we are responsible for not being deceived.
Ah, yes.
It's a very great sin to be careless or sloppy with
yes.
one's belief system.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That shows you disvalue it. You're not valuing it as
yeah.
as you should.
That's right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, in Jesus' parable of the pearls and the swine, it's all about not getting it, not valuing something that's precious
that's
or
right.
valuable.
Of course,
we don't want to be in that. In
that's
that,
it makes one think of the rather inadequate way people recite creeds. You know, they talk about Jesus being begotten, not made. You ask the average church member what that means; he's got no idea at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
We expect honesty, integrity in every other field, do we not?
Yes.
But somehow in church, all of that goes by the board.
That's
it doesn't
right.
matter. We've been saying these creeds for years. We don't know what we're saying. That's a very serious
no.
fault.
Don't you think we're coming to a day in which we can have a freedom of understanding and thought and faith that people no longer should have to be under the thumb of a not so good clergy many times,
yeah, exactly.
who are demanding and imposing on them what they must accept, what they must believe. And most reason, usually the reason for that is because that's what the generation before said and the generation before said.
Exactly.
But what did the Bible say,
yeah,
for goodness sakes?
Yeah.
You know, isn't this better?
I think that's the moment for us to bring in that quote that I copied for you this morning from Dr. Hodgson was lecturing
oh.
on faith and practice
oh, yes, yes,
in 1944. And he's got this extraordinary remark. He says, the Athanasian Creed, which is not admittedly rehearsed in most churches today, but it's on the books. It was there
sure.
massively. And he says, without a tinge of humor, there's no exclamation point to this. He simply records that in the Athanasian Creed, they laid a number of contradictions next to each other and then said, you'll be damned if you don't believe them. These are the actual
yes.
words of Leonard Hodgson, D.D.,
oh,
lecturing at Oxford in 1944.
Yes.
Contradictions put side by side, and you're going to, if you don't believe these contradictions.
For goodness sakes.
People
yes.
should reflect on that
yes.
and say, my goodness, what are we
yes.
doing here?
Well, this is amazing, but I like your thought about deceiving and being deceived.
Yes.
Both
yes.
are evil things.
Yes.
To be deceived
mm-hmm.
is an evil thing. You know, I don't think it's going to stand well to say to Messiah Jesus in
yes.
judgment,
right.
oh, well, someone deceived me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to be devoting our energies, our lives, our
yes.
hope and faith to
yes.
not being deceived
yes.
so that we may accurately understand and hold to
that's right.
the words of Jesus
right.
and hear the words of Jesus in Paul.
Absolutely. So the opposite then is in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, where people, because they didn't have a passion for truth in order to be saved, and that's a high
yeah.
tension verse
wow.
about being saved. You have to have a passion for truth, which is a passion for not being deceived.
Yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Very clear.
I like Paul better than his detractors. I like Paul better than those people today who want to sit and say, oh, don't you think, and don't you think, and let's. Why don't we just see what Paul thought, and that might be the better solution to all of this.
Absolutely. Maybe begin here rather than Romans. Romans really is difficult. Paul's very radical.
Surely.
But this is really not very difficult.
No, very direct, very direct. Straightforward.
Start there, maybe, before you rush into Romans and get tangled up with Paul's clever and very intelligent reasoning. Yeah. But Paul is difficult. Peter said that.
Work your way through.
Yes. And, work with. Start with the early stuff, easier stuff, rather. Right.
Verse 14. Mm-hmm. But as for you, again talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, mm-hmm. knowing from whom you learned it.
Yes.
And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, mm-hmm. which are able to make you wise for salvation. Ah. Through faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Mm. Interesting. I love this Christ Jesus. We noted that before.
Yes.
He's emphasizing Messiah Jesus, not Jesus Christ as some surname, some family name. Messiah Jesus, salvation, high tension word, right? You better be loving the scriptures if you hope to be saved.
Yes.
If you're not loving the scriptures, you're not going to be saved. Mm-hmm. It's very direct and rather alarming, actually, in view of some of the careless church going that can,
some
cases, go on.
I like that
wisdom.
It's good for the reader to be aware of that, the emphasis that comes through Christ Jesus.
Yes,
that's very important. Messiah Jesus.
I like this from childhood. That's the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. You know, this famous thing about the Lord our God is one single Lord. That's biblical unitary monotheism, clearly.
Absolutely.
And it's something you must talk to your children about when you get up in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go to bed at night. Yeah. Instruction.
Yes.
Very real.
Yes.
From childhood, you have known the sacred scriptures.
Wow.
Holy writings.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Will we as Christians today impart such good words of faith and understanding to our children, so that someday they'll be able to say, "From a child, I knew these
Absolutely.
Things." Like Eunice
Timothy
his mother,
was, very much praised because of what his grandmother had done.
Yes,
isn't that a
absolutely.
Wonderful lesson for parents everywhere?
Absolutely,
you better teach your children these truths early on.
Yeah. And it makes a difference. God will honor that.
Right.
And God will bless them.
And it gives you the word. I like that word wisdom there, because it's not just, well, being a sort of smart person ethically. It includes that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the whole grasp of what the universe is about, what life is about, isn't it? Wisdom.
Exactly.
The whole spiritual understanding.
Yes, yes, yes.
Doctrinal, that awful word. Includes doctrine very much, because all doctrine is teaching anyway.
Yes, right, right. What would we say, a false dichotomy to say that doctrine is one thing and then these other matters are something different. Now, I do like that, able to make you wise, not the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God.
Yes.
What can be better than that?
Leading to salvation. Again, these are key words. You want to be lost, then this is how to do it. You want to be saved, this is how to do it. I love the black and white, clear edges here, don't you, that doesn't get waffled away in some vagueness, as we often hear these days.
And, you know, Timothy had followed Paul. He had learned and been taught by Paul. He knew these wonderful things, as we've been seeing.
Yeah.
And yet, Paul is bringing all these things back to him again and again.
Absolutely.
We need to be reminded.
Yes.
Of these things
and
to hear them again.
It's his last will and testament. He's about to die. So
that's
his last shot. And here we are reading this 2,000 years later.
Isn't that
marvelous?
He's still speaking to us, isn't he? Even
though, dead,
out
of it, unconscious in
the
grave, these words are speaking to us nearly 2,000 years
it's
later.
Wonderful.
That's remarkable. Almost like the internet that preserves stuff, right?
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
these writings must have something very special about them.
Absolutely.
We bothered to preserve these
in
multiple translations and manuscripts. This is incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God.
Yes.
And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Marvelous.
Oh my, I love that.
Terrific statement, isn't it? It's easy to remember because 2 Peter 3:16 has a similar thing about the scriptures.
Oh, yes.
Which the unstable can twist and so on.
Yeah.
Easy to remember. 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Peter 3:16 about scripture. Like isn't that powerful? It's all breathed out. It's the direct result of God's Spirit breathing into these words, inspiring these words. Mm-hmm. Without that, the human race is left with no anchor, isn't that right? We're really astray, drifting in a vast ocean of chaos.
Oh, yes.
If there is no given standard in writing, and there is.
I like this whole business about a good attitude toward God's Word.
Oh, totally.
Respecting that. I like what Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians, I think the second chapter, where he says, you know, when we came to you, you received the Word for what it really is, for the Word of God.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Absolutely.
You didn't take it as though it were the words of men clever things or all that. You took it for what it really is, the Word of God.
We've lost that. It reminds me of that statement we found yesterday from Kierkegaard, who says that we have invented scholarship to keep us at arm's length from the Bible. This whole system of critical scholarship in the worst sense. You know, everything is in question. You don't know what Jesus really said anyway.
Yes.
How do you know whether somebody else put it back into his lips?
Yes.
You don't know that.
No.
That's a recipe for disaster. And Kierkegaard says, we've invented this whole theological system of scholarship, a prodigious invention, he calls it, to defend ourselves against the Bible.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah.
Well worth thinking about. Yeah. Kierkegaard said that.
It's a pretty sharp statement when you think about it, because He's put his finger on something.
Yes.
We use our scholarship in order to find ways to dance around what we don't want to accept or receive in the Word.
That's an excuse for unbelief.
Yeah.
We're back to Zechariah, who didn't believe. You know, it's a very serious matter.
And that's scholarship at its worst.
You know,
that's not terrible. But
terrible.
The scholarship is not good either when scholarship is constantly pointing us toward church tradition as opposed to the health giving words of Jesus and of those whom he taught.
Exactly
including Paul.
1 Timothy 6:3, you just mentioned, we're going to get to it, in fact.
Yeah,
the sixth chapter, the sound, health-giving words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's time to bring in our famous quote from Kennedy down there, the late Kennedy, who says, many people think the teaching of Jesus is important. That's not so, he said, from this vast pulpit, with thousands of parishioners. That's not so. What really counts is that God came and died. But the teachings of Jesus, forget it. That's a very serious mistake, categorical mistake.
You know, unfortunately, many people laud Dr. Kennedy. He was a noted teacher and all that business. But how many of them know that he said that?
I know.
But he did, and he believed it.
He believed it.
The words of Jesus are not that important.
Are not that important.
Yeah. No, really.
That's a disaster.
Isn't this horrible?
One day I think he'll realize, my goodness, what was I saying?
I think that would be words he will be ashamed of someday. And in the meantime, people should be aware.
Yes.
This is an awful way of thinking. It does not represent a right faith and a true understanding of God's will and God's word.
This is my son, the voice says from heaven. Listen
to him.
To him. Those happen to be his words.
That's exactly
don't they?
Right. That's
don't miss out on the son's words.
Yeah.
That's tremendous advice from God the Father.